saw someone standing in the shadow, so I ran to the kitchen and I turned on the light and found a sharp pencil. And I stood there naked in the light, just writing while the night burned black through the windows and my wife was sleeping. I never thought I'd find myself at all, much less with a pencil for a weapon in the fifth dimension. Like throwing a rope from a boat to a man in water who's looking like he needs a little helping hand. Says he's not done drinking, it'll be a little while till the ocean runs dry, check back in a couple more months. Any legacy of mine's gonna be sunshine, and I'll leave it behind as a sign of my love for man.
And that was White Falcon Fuzz by the Mother Hips. You're listening to KDRT 95.7 in Davis, California. I'm your host, Peter Pastore. The show's called Listening Lyrics. Normally, well, always normally, I have a musician with me live in the studio, and today I do. And the whole play, most of the songs in the that we'll play today are by, selected by, none other than Harold
Tollerup.
Tollerup. Welcome, Harold.
Thank you. I'm glad that I was invited. I'm grateful to be here.
So, you're a high school guy? Not anymore, really. Well, maybe you got a week left?
Actually, you know what? We graduate Friday the 13th.
Oh.
So, kind of spooky. But last day of classes is June 12th, so two weeks-ish. Okay. And then I will be out of here, and I won't be in high school anymore.
Okay. Then off to college, political science,
I believe. Yeah, political science, George Washington.
Very nice.
Yeah, we'll see.
Very nice. You'll be right there in the middle of where all the action is in the world.
Yeah, yeah. It's something that my parents have at least talked to me about, and my friends have talked to me about, who are also thinking about going to the East Coast or gone into schools in the East Coast, and they're like, are you sure you kind of want to do that? And, you know, I mean, it's chaotic. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, the headlines that I read sometimes, I'm just like flabbergasted.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, not to get too political or anything, but it just, yeah, I mean, there is a lot of action there, and I'm ready for it.
Well, I grew up, well, didn't grow up, but I spent a lot of time when I was younger in Ohio, and there is a different vibe in Ohio than California, and I'm sure Washington will have a completely different vibe than what you're used to in Davis. And that's part of the experience of going to college. Correct?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking for another vibe. That's my goal ultimately.
Okay. That's at your age, you have to find different vibes. Alrighty, how did you get involved in music? Your parents play?
My dad plays piano. My mom, dabbled in piano, but not really anymore. My dad primarily focuses on hymns. He plays hymns a lot. But yeah, I mean, I got into music. I think my mom really pushed me to do it because she, I don't know, she thinks it's really valuable. She put me in a lot of different things when I was younger.
Right.
And so it helped me really build character. And so music was one of those things. Saxophone,
right.
Alto, as of now. Playing in the DHS jazz band,
right.
Was part of a band for a couple months, too, and then now starting to play piano.
Okay.
So it's been a journey, and it's
cool.
Been enjoyable, and I love it. I love music.
Okay, and so I guess you lean towards jazz instead of pop?
Yeah. Jazz is my focus in my playing, because it's just, you know, it's the most artistic, at least to me, that the space that I ventured into.
Yeah. Who's on the top of your list if you had to listen to one person?
Ooh, that's tough. Yeah. Well, I really enjoy. I mean, I got into John Coltrane when I was first listening to jazz and playing jazz music. He's definitely up there. I would say Thelonious Monk. Is another one that I would really put up there too.
Miles
Davis.
My grandson is a year younger than you. He's a junior in high school, and he lives and breathes John Coltrane.
Yeah.
Just loves John Coltrane.
Yeah.
He said, the guy's unbelievable. And there was a church in Oakland where he grew up that only played John Coltrane music. And whoever was in charge of the church, they would write the hymn lyrics to his music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually go to a Davis UMC on Anderson. And
United Methodist Church?
Yeah, United Methodist Church on Anderson.
Yes.
Been going there for, I mean, my whole life in Davis at least. But yeah, a lot of the times, actually, it's kind of funny. We do, like, they'll switch out the tune and change the lyrics, or they'll keep the lyrics and switch out the tune. But yeah, John Coltrane is just pure jazz. And I saw a son live in New York City one time, Ravi Coltrane.
Okay.
And he, you know, he plays his own tunes, he composes, he has his groups, obviously incredible musician as well.
Right.
But he, you know, he pays homage to his dad in his last couple tunes, playing some, you know, giant steps and things along that line.
So we didn't overlap at the United Methodist Church because I went there for a good 15 years or so. And then about the time you were born, I said to Jeannie, my wife, I said, Jeannie, you know, there's a fellow by the name of Harold just being born right now. I got to get out of here. You know? No, I kind of lost my way.
Yeah.
You know? So you go through phases, right?
Well, I'm not particularly – like, I enjoy going to church, and it's an experience that being spiritual is something that I value.
Yes.
But it's not – the church is by no means my whole life, and if you're not a Christian, I don't condemn you.
Good.
Don't get me wrong.
The nice thing about that church is they're so, for lack of a better word, progressive. They're encompassing. Nice vibe there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. No, okay. Beautiful church.
Alrighty. You picked Softly, Tell Me Why, by Dogpatch, of all things.
Yeah. A band I actually didn't know until I went to a Bernie Sanders rally in Folsom, recently came Fight the Oligarchy Tour.
You went to that one?
I went to that one, yeah. I was there. I wasn't in the crowd. I was reporting for The Hub.
Okay.
Student journalism at Davis High.
Yes.
Of which I'm the editor-in-chief, or one of the print editors-in-chief. But, yeah, I was just there reporting with a group of you know, Hubsters, they're called, and right. And there was bands before, and one of them was Dogpatch, and I was like, wow, this is kind of a unique sound. And
so they're local?
They're from Sacramento.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's take a listen. Dogpatch. Well, we had a few technical issues there. We'll try to straighten them out. If you're listening on the internet, okay, we had an oops. If you're listening live, you're not hearing this. when is my replay? I think on Sundays and another day. And it'll be on a podcast also and available for you to broadcast all over the world.
Amazing.
So I'm very sorry about this. Is this your first time on the radio?
This is my first time on the radio.
And look what happened.
I just stroke of luck, I guess.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
I know. It's interesting because I'm a journalist, and I talk to my friends about this all the time. It's like I'm constantly interviewing others, but it's like I because we have a rule that we can't interview people within the class, so I never get interviewed. So I'm like, oh, it's curious. Like, what would I say if I got interviewed? And now this opportunity just
perfect
lays itself out there. Ironically, by doing reporting for the Hub. So
yeah,
that's besides the point.
Okay, so how am I doing so far?
You're doing great.
Okay.
You're doing great.
Alrighty. So we talked a little bit about music. We talked a little bit about your mother dabbled in piano and sort of stopped. Your father's still playing on the piano.
Mm-hmm.
What got you onto the saxophone?
Over here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so I originally played trumpet.
Yes.
I can kind of, you know, still mess around a little bit.
I love the trumpet.
Yeah. But I don't have the chops anymore to do really anything significant. But I played the trumpet, and then I wanted to switch to saxophone. And just I don't really know what it was. I think it might have been just, I don't know, listening to more music, being exposed to the sound. And I was like, that really, you know, the versatility, you know, you can have a, you know, this smoky tone. You can have this dark tone. You can have, I don't know, there's just so many things you can do.
Right.
So it just drew me to it immediately. And then I was like, I want to switch. And then I switched. And I haven't looked back.
I'm looking up a song that I want to play. This isn't on our list, mm-hmm. but now that you've said that, trumpet, Rod is another DJ. He played the song a couple of days ago. I introduced it to him some time back. It's both a trumpet and, I'm going to have a trouble finding it. So anyways, we'll look for it. It's a trumpet with Herb Alpert.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know him or not. And also, Stan Getz. You've heard of him. Maybe not.
I've heard the name. I just, if you ask me about his music or I
you don't know. You don't know.
Couldn't tell you.
Okay. So Stan Getz was also a very famous musician. The two of them got in the recording studio because he had just 2 or 3 months left. Stan Getz did.
Mm-hmm.
And they said goodbye to each other. Herb Alpert on his trumpet and Stan on his sax.
Wow.
For the recording. It's very touching. And I thought it would be appropriate for you to hear, but okay, we can't do that. So.
Next one.
Next thing. You're into music now. Obviously, you don't want to make it a living.
No, that's secondary. But I still want to – I would hope to join a band in college and gig and maybe have fun with it. But it's not a career, unfortunately, for me at least.
So next year you could go back to Europe, right?
Maybe.
And your parents don't even need to fund you. You just busk.
Yeah, bus for a living.
Yeah.
Just busk around the Europe. That sounds like a summer for the ages, actually.
Exactly. So high school is over. Any thoughts about, are you frightened about AI?
Am I frightened about AI?
Well, I'm reading 30% of the workforce is going to be gone in 5 years because of AI.
No, don't worry. It's not a, I'm happy to talk about it. I've thought about it, you know, briefly here and there. And, I wouldn't say I'm scared of AI because I actually think that, AI and technology really have, the potential to actually empower workers to you know, stand up to their bosses and to gain equal pay and fair pay for their labor. Because,
whoa, that's a different way of looking at it. Unreal.
I think it's actually going to be quite freeing because I think, well, it needs to be supplemented because you said 30% are going to lose their jobs. Of course, some of those people are going to find other jobs in other sectors. However, 30% of people lose their jobs. They get a part-time job, and you know, and then government reform comes in and builds a, you know, a stronger social safety net, and they don't work anymore. They work a part-time job, one that they maybe really enjoy. I don't know if they, you know, I can't obviously assume. It's a case by case, but still, I think AI has a lot of potential. And it's scary because, you know, you see deep fakes, especially those are concerning.
You see deep fakes.
Deep fakes.
Oh.
It's like it's.
Oh, you yeah. see deep fakes.
Yeah, you see deep fakes. It's like the people that can superimpose faces onto bodies.
Oh,
and,
you, when you said UCD, I'm thinking the college.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, UC. Yeah. UYOU. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Apologies. But yeah, that's concerning. However, it's power to reorder our entire how we think about working and how we think about labor and how we think about equality, really, and in general. It's just like it's unknown, and so – but it's something that definitely is real. I think it can happen.
I'll tell you, I'm involved here just more than the radio. I help with different things, and I had to put together a – I'm working on putting together a three-year plan. So I asked AI. I asked it, here's where I'm at with KDRT. Here's what we have. Here's sort of what we're looking for. Put together a three-year plan.
Wow.
Within 5 seconds. Now, I had to alter it, but it had the structure there. That was important to me. The structure was there. So, yes, you can stand up now to your boss, even if you didn't have that. Okay, here's the structure. I still need to fill in the details, but here we go.
Yeah. I get what you're saying, the whole structure, and I've used AI, you know, I'm a student, so not too much, hopefully. That would be bad, but... use AI to like solve math problems.
Why would it be bad?
Well, I mean, I guess if I plugged into ChatGPT, do this assignment for me, and it could do it. I mean, it could do anything.
Oh,
it could literally do
that
any.
That would be bad.
That would be bad. It could do anything that I ask it to do. Yeah. Anything in school. It could be a student itself. But it really helps me with math, I would say, because I could just plug in solve this integral or solve this whatever, and it'll just do it for me.
And show you how it's done.
Exactly. And it'll give me the step-by-step. And its power to generate things, generate new ideas, is something we've never, ever seen aside from our own brain.
Okay.
And it's something that should be utilized, but it needs, you know, it needs to be further understood and then hopefully corralled and regulated to a certain extent.
Okay. Before we leave this subject, I'm a few generations ahead of you. I always, when I type in, let's say I go to chat, right?
Yeah.
I'll type in, please. Do you have to be nice? And then when chat does something for you, I always say thank you.
Yeah. I think that's amazing because I think about the same exact thing because
really?
I try to speak to Siri so nicely because I fear that, like, am I target number one once this AI becomes sentient or whatever, or becomes conscious? And then it's like, this person was mean to me and this person was mean to me. I'm going to go take them out. But yeah, I try to be nice, but I don't write please. I might say actually please in the prompt, but then I won't follow up with thank you, unfortunately. ChatGPT doesn't get that.
I'm going to play one of the other songs you picked. It's Don't Let Me Wait Too
Long
by George Harrison, another very spiritually oriented individual. Here we go.
Please.
Don't Let Me Wait Too Long, George Harrison. Alrighty. Harold, we have things coming up that are important for the community. And what I'd like to talk to you about is I'd like to say, you know, you could join us as we broadcast live from the Davis Pride Celebration.
So who's going to be performing? Who's there?
Well, I was going to ask you, who is going to be there?
Yeah, it's going to feature a performance from Noise Violation, the Sacramento Gay Men's Chorus, Carte Blanche, Emma's Revolution, and Ada Fox, plus drag reviews, line dancing, and more.
Unbelievable. Where is it?
It's all happening at the Civic Center Park behind Davis City Hall at 6th and B Street.
You've been there, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think I have been there. Yeah, I think I have.
And what's the date?
Saturday, June 7th, and it starts at 3 p.m.
Perfect. Alrighty. And then we've got another exciting event coming up, and this one I think I might go to. It's the Vinyl Bazaar. Do you listen to vinyl at home?
I don't have a player, but I do. I really wish, because vinyl is one of those things where you get vinyl and then you start having these experiences where you sit down and listen to music like that.
Yes.
And that's something that I just haven't real. I do occasionally, but I want to do more. And so I want to get vinyl. But short answer,
no.
Unfortunately, no.
Okay. So when, and we'll get to what's happening with vinyl, but when I was at Sudworks, or not Sudworks, at Armadillo Music, where I met you this past week. I was looking at students buying albums, spending $25, $30, $40 for an LP.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm going, why? You know, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And so the guy I was with, your buddy that's putting the insurance together for your trip. What's his name?
He didn't remember my name, so I'm less embarrassed. But
anyways,
a friend of mine's dad.
Yeah, yeah. So he gets on his phone and he says, "So when you were that age, so this is mid to late 60s, how much did you pay for an album?" I'm going, I really don't remember. So he looked it up.
Yeah.
He said between $4.50 and $5.
And adjusted for inflation, or
then. $4.50 to $5.
Oh, then, okay.
So then he adjusted for inflation. Comes out to about $25 to $34.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
The only thing is, we had to do it. We didn't have Spotify. We didn't have CDs. We couldn't share music. If you wanted to hear music, it was the radio.
Or vinyl.
LP. Yeah.
And that's the interesting thing. It's total shift, and it's like, is it about artist empowerment? Because artists, you know, like, you know, you'll see interviews with artists and they'll be like, yeah, when I was 5 years old, or what, it'll be like, in his mid-50s.
Right.
He'll be like, when I was 5 years old, yeah, I was like, I'm going to be a, you know, multimillionaire,
right,
and like doing all this stuff because I'm going to be so popular. But they're the same popularity and they gain, you know, they make a tenth of a cent on every stream. And
right,
so it's hard to live. And so that's where the real money is, and shows. And that's why artists will tour until they can't tour anymore. They literally physically can't, because they need to survive.
Right. And isn't that what they did, let's say, in the century before, not two centuries before us now, 1800s, musicians could only survive performing in front of people. That's what
literally
they do, right?
Yeah.
So anyways, we're having a June final bazaar I forget where it is, but tell me, what is it about?
So it's KDRT. They're co-presenting with the June Vinyl Bazaar with live music by the Bottom Dwellers.
Whoa, okay. I've heard of that band. I've seen that band. Great people. Where is it?
Yeah, so it's at Blue Note Brewing, 750 Dead Cat Alley in Woodland.
Okay, and when?
Yeah, Saturday, June 1st, noon to 6.
Okay, and where else can people get info?
Yeah, so for more info, visit BlueNoteBrewingCompany.com.
All righty. If it wasn't for the internet, people like probably NMM is probably before that, but Justin Bieber, all of those, maybe even Taylor Swift would not be as popular as they are today.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they got their fame doing it themselves online.
Yeah, a lot of artists' careers have started like that, and you know, and there's, you know, there's similar pipelines in like America's Got Talent and that
right,
kind of
right.
thing, but the internet is just a whole nother level of that.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, the internet, you know, has its good and its bad, but its ability to platform artists like that is just incredible.
Perfect.
And it's great.
Alrighty, Just Be Simple. It's the next song we're going to play from Ohio.
OEA, I think, OEA. I believe.
Okay. I don't know anything about OEA and Jason Malona. Tell me about him.
Yeah, I mean, it's not an artist that I'm personally actually that familiar with, as in their background. That's just, I love this song. A friend of mine actually showed it to me for the first time. I think they work together a decent amount, but it's not a band that I'm honestly quite too familiar with.
Okay, well, let's take a listen to it. Here we go.
Great song, great
song. Just Be Simple.
Talk about one day getting out. Why put a new address on the same old loneliness? Everybody knows where that is. We built that house of his, and when he's not home, someone else we know always is. If heaven's really coming back, it's always heaven goes. Who always almost tells me the secret. Now there's really no difference in who he was once and who he's become. I think he's been letting me. I think he's doing it again. Thanks for letting me win. And everything you hated me for, honey, there was so much. I just didn't get busted.
Just Be Simple. That was a selection. That was a selection from my very special guest here on the radio, who, by the way, is going to perform for us.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead and do that. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And you're listening to KDRT 95.7 FM Davis, KDRT.org worldwide.
And my assistant today, that's my guest, is Harold
Tollerup.
Tollerup. And he's a jazz musician. He plays the saxophone. What kind of sax is that?
It's an alto.
An alto. Okay. After you play it, I'm going to ask you what are the different saxes and what the sounds they create.
Yeah, I'll be ready. I'll just jam out here.
Okay, what are you going to play?
Well, I'm just going to kind of play a little bit to kind of just riff off this Duke Ellington tune. It's called Addie.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, here we go.
Yeah, okay. Am I right? We're good?
You're good.
Okay.
That's amazing. Thank you. Thank you.
You
know what I like? Well, I'll wait till you sit down. You know what I like about the sax is that raspy sound.
Yeah.
You know what I mean by
that? That's cool. Sorry. Yeah. No, it's a – I mean, that's what drew me to the saxophone initially, quite honestly, when I was first hearing it. We talked about it briefly, you know, before. But and you can just do so many different things, and, you know, that's just a tasting. And I am by no means one of the great saxophone players. You know, there's so many different types of music, and jazz is one of those things that you can just morph into whatever you want it to really be, and you can just find your little pocket of greatness right there.
Wow. Okay. So, is that a brand? What kind of brand saxophone do you have?
Yeah. I believe it's an Eastman. Yeah, Andreas Eastman.
Okay. And there's a history to it, or you just bought it off the shelf?
I didn't just buy it off the shelf, but I can't really speak to the history of it. I mean, it's an established, you know, brand, you know, other brands.
No, I meant the actual unit. This wasn't your grandfather's or anything like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I went into Watermelon Music, local music store, and played a couple saxophones. Okay. Also went down to up, let's see, would it be up or down? Whatever.
Yeah.
To Sacramento.
Over.
Over. Yeah. Over there, over the causeway to Sacramento, and saw some, played some saxes there, and this is the one that I don't know, felt the best in. It's really weird. You play it, you play an instrument, and you're just like, wow, I just, this instrument, I can really do what I want to need, do what I need to do on this.
Okay. So let's start with the smallest sax up to the biggest, some of the names. The smallest, yeah. I've seen these little wee ones.
Well, there's a curve soprano, which is pretty, which is, I think this is, it's a pretty much a smaller version of the alto. There's just the soprano, which is straight down.
Right.
Then you kind of move up to the alto.
Right.
Then to the tenor, which is a bigger version with a curved neck.
Okay.
Alto has a straight neck.
Right.
Baritone saxophone, or Barry sax, many know it by.
Yeah.
Huge bell, really deep, dark sounds that you can make with that one. And then I believe it's called bass sax or B flat sax.
Yeah.
But there's some, I mean, they get up to,
yeah,
they can be as tall as a human being and, you know, have a bell that you could, you know, fit like a kid in.
I had a guy in here that could play sax and trumpet, but he had both of them electronically.
What does that mean?
He vibrated his lips, but the sound didn't come out of there. It was done through electronics.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's Paul. I mean,
yeah. Okay, let's completely leave what we've talked about. You picked the song Radiohead. They've been around for years.
Yes. Amazing band. Amazing band.
I'm trying to think of the lead singer's name again.
I forgot, but he has that kind of like straight hair, grungy look.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you can probably look it up, or, you know, the listeners can too. But I forgot.
Here we go. Lift, Radiohead.
The place
Radiohead. From their album called OK Computer Ock Knock Tuck. I don't know this.
Oh, wait. OK yeah, it's like the extended version, or it's...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's something okay. else, I think. It's not the album itself, but OK Computer, it's... Yeah.
Do you wake up listening to music or thinking music?
I can't say. I did some composition in while I was, you know, in a band for a couple months, but it's not a regular thing for me. I wish it was. Honestly, I have kind of a fear that I don't want to just kind of venture out and do it. In my opinion, honestly, I think when I take some music composition classes in college, maybe. I mean, I'm studying political science, but, you know, there's room to take some other classes.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, like an intro, just understand the basics. And I'm learning theory right now, and I'm learning piano, so I'm learning music theory simultaneously, because it's really important to understanding the piano itself. So no, I don't compose, but to your prior question, I try not to fall asleep to music and then I guess wake up to it, because I try to separate it a little bit, because first off, if I went to sleep to music, I don't know if I could really fall asleep, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'd focus on it too much, I would say I wake up thinking about music. Okay. You know, the night before, if I, you know, was like, oh, I really wanted to play this song or whatever, then I might, but yeah.
Okay. Let's see. We're going to end this with a couple of other things. I think I'm going to play Thelonious Monk, Ugly Beauty from his underground album, just a little bit in the background. How's that?
Cool.
While we continue talking. So you're going into political science. What does that mean at the end of 4 years?
That is the great question. That is the undying question. Honestly, I mean, now it's fascinating, and we were talking off the air a little bit, of course, about it. But, maybe I'll be a radio host. I don't know.
Perfect.
I never know. I don't know what's going to happen. And that's kind of, a degree in political science is kind of an ambiguous thing. You know, you study chemistry and you might work for a biotech company or something along those lines. Or whatever it may be. But political science, I can be a lawyer. I can work for campaigns. I can work for politicians. Right. I can work for think tanks. I can, you know, do it on my own. I can be an academic. But I don't know. I don't think I have the wherewithal to be a lawyer, quite honestly.
Oh, good Lord. Okay. So, yeah.
So I don't think I could do that, even though, you know what? I say that wherewithal, you know, but if I committed myself to becoming a lawyer, I could be a lawyer. And I say that with confidence.
I like your spunk.
I say that with confidence, but okay. I wouldn't choose that.
I'm not going to. There's a song Boot Juice sings, Don't Worry About Me. Don't Worry About Me. This is a song that he wrote for his parents when he went into music. Don't worry about me. I'll make it happen.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. No, it's one of those things.
Don't worry about me. All right, let's listen to a little bit of jazz. Now we're into your genre here. This is Ugly Beauty from the underground album Thelonious Monk. Thank you. Okay, we're listening to Thelonious in the background, and while we're off the air, we're talking. We're talking about the future. So I just want to continue a little bit about on the air. You said that people have a real passion you gravitate towards, and probably I do too. Most of us do, right?
Yeah.
And that's probably, we talked about Bernie earlier, that's probably one reason why he's so popular. He's so passionate about what he's doing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Sorry if I cut you off.
No.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we were talking about how people who are, because it's seemingly that people are in, you know, in the modern age, like lacking, you know, lacking, well, I say this is a strong word, but lacking meaning, lacking purpose, like feeling as though they are insignificant or, you know, compared to other people or things like that. And so that's when I said, you gravitate towards people who are passionate and who really enjoy what they do. Interestingly, though, being in high school, it's kind of funny because you'll see almost the opposite. It's like people who are meaningful, you know, are really passionate about things. They're like, you know, they're almost like, what are you doing, you nerd, or something. But just my personal gripe. I'm sorry. But it's interesting, that contrast. But yeah.
So I'll tell you something. I have noticed that I have a daughter who has a son, right? And other people that have children so grandchildren, the focus in my generation was go to college, get a degree, you know, become a doctor, a lawyer, whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Today, I sense the shift is more towards do something you'll like, right? It's not about the money anymore because you have enough of it. And even if you don't have enough of it, you still live fairly comfortable compared to 50 years or 100 years ago.
Well, I would say there's truth to that for sure, in that people are encouraged to do what they want. However, I would say that still, you know, people's material conditions are really important to them, meaning,
of course,
they want things and they want to live comfortably. The reality is that people are living better compared to 50 years ago, you know, on average.
Right.
But I would say that there's still, you know, large portions of the population that are just completely underserved. And that's, you know, that's just the reality of the society that we live in.
That's, they're still singing, I want my MTV. Today it's, I want my iPhone.
Yeah.
You've been listening to KDRT 95.7 right here in Davis, California, or KDRT.org worldwide. We've had Harold Tollerup here, not only playing live a saxophone, talking about his music, talking about his life as a person that's just ready to go, as a young adult, just ready to go into college. Harold, I want to thank you for sharing part of yourself with us.
Well, I want to thank you for bringing me on this kind of spontaneous opportunity that I've just had, and I'm grateful to take advantage of it. I appreciate it.
Very good. So we're going to go out with Wilco, one of my favorite bands from
band.
Yankee Hotel Foxtrot expanded version, Heavy Metal Drummer. Okay. Thank you, sir. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye now.